Brothers and sisters, geography plays a vital role in this very gospel. So we take a moment and we look at that. Caesarea Philippi, everyone, Jesus takes his disciples to that very city, to that very town. Now, Caesarea Philippi, everyone, is built upon this enormous rock, at least 100 feet tall, everyone, 500 feet wide. Okay, and on top of that rock, then, we have Caesarea Philippi. King Philip in his day, everyone, even expanded the city, made it larger, rededicated it to Caesar in Rome. Now, here's where it becomes important. Caesar considered himself a god. And when we talk about the Greeks at that time, they had many different gods. And when it came to Caesarea Philippi, people went there, especially to worship the god Pan. And it's there that Jesus takes his disciples and asks a question. Now, before we get into that question, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? Here's your question. What title do you think Jesus used the most in reference to himself? I'll give you some options. Was it Jesus, Christ, Savior, Light, Son of Man, the Word, or Son of God? Okay? Title I'm about to give you, everyone, occurs 69 times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and 9 times in the Gospel of John. The title that Jesus used the most reference of himself is the Son of Man. Man. The reason for that, everyone, I think Jesus wanted to make it crystal clear. God had come as man to suffer and to die for his people. That God came to walk amongst his people. And so, everyone, with that in mind, now Jesus comes to this land of all these gods, and he asks the question about himself. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, everyone, this is where it gets to be very interesting. There are actually two different groups we have to look at today. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, everyone, lived hundreds of years before Jesus. They had already been dead and buried. John the Baptist in Matthew's Gospel, this gospel you heard today, 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the martyrdom of John the Baptist is actually in Matthew 18. So what does that tell us? He's already died and he's been buried. So obviously, if they say Jeremiah, he's one of the prophets, he's John the Baptist, obviously, some had to believe that we could come back as another person. This is the idea of reincarnation. Now, I thought it'd be good for us today just for us to hear what the Catholic Church teaches about reincarnation. Do we believe in it? So I'm going to read to you the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1013, and I quote it exactly. Death is the end of man and woman's earthly pilgrimage. Of the time of grace and mercy which God offers him or her so as to work out his earthly life in keeping with the divine plan and to decide his ultimate destiny. When the single course of our earthly life is completed, we shall not return to other earthly lives. It is important for man to die just once. There is no reincarnation after death. So everyone, the Catholic Church says this, we will not come back. We can't come back as another man or woman. We don't come back as animals or anything in other spirits. You only get one shot. And that's the life you live right now. But in the question and the answer, some Jews, some non-Jews believed in reincarnation. That's the one group. The second group, everyone, pertains to Elijah, a vastly different story. Here's Elijah's story at the end of his life. Elijah and Elisha are walking along. So just pretend somebody's walking along beside me. All of a sudden, in between them comes this fiery chariot, these fiery horses. And what happens to Elijah, everyone? He's taken up in this great whirlwind. He never experiences death. Second time we hear it in the Bible. The first time was in the fifth chapter of Genesis, and it's the story of Enoch. He too is taken up without having died. Now, why did God do this? some point to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation where it talks about two witnesses who will witness everyone to the Lamb. It's speculation. Could be. The Bible doesn't define it as such. It's possible. Some people, everyone, say that God did it because Elijah and Enoch were faithful. They lived good lives. And so God said, let's bring them home. Again, it's pure speculation. But we also realize then from this story that there was a possibility that what goes up, guess what, can come back down. There's the two groups. We've covered them all. One of the prophets, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and Elijah. So Jesus turns to his disciples and says, okay, guys, none of you said nobody says I'm some kind of a God. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answers, he's called blessed. He's given the name Peter, rock, and he's also given what? The keys of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let's talk for a moment about keys, okay? You know something? I'm going to pull out my keys here today, all right? And let's just pretend I'm a parent and my child has just passed everyone. There's driver's test. So at some point, what do you have to do? You have to what? You got to hand them over. Now, are you nervous? Of course you are. But I also dare tell you this. If you don't, they could be there the rest of their lives. Is that what you want? So at some point, you got to give them. Okay? If you give your keys to someone to enter your house, what are you saying? I trust them. Now, very interesting. First reading, everyone, corresponds with the gospel. What is mentioned in the first reading? Keys. Shebna is the man that's talked about. Shebna was the second in command under King Hezekiah, everyone. Everyone, he was a very, very, very famous man at that time, everyone. But you know something? He let power get to his head. He took advantage of the poor and the innocent, and he filled his pockets. He became wealthy. So you know what we hear in the first reading of today, what God does? He tells him, you're fired. You're out. And guess what happens when that happens? What's one of the first things you ask for? Keys. Why? You don't trust them anymore. Okay? You don't trust them. Well, I'm going to tell you something today, everyone. Like Peter, we've been given some enormous keys. Keys into people's hearts, keys into people's lives, keys to build up God's kingdom. You know what that says? God trusts us. And he tells us to be faithful. Now remember this, what I said earlier. You only get one shot at this. So be faithful and be loyal to the keys that you've been given. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for each other that we be faithful in our work of Jesus Christ as we celebrate our sacred mysteries this day.